This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 9th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a look at how some Illinois cities are dealing with farm runoff and its effect on drinking water supplies. First, a look at today's news. Patricia Avery says this will be her last year as a Champaign County board member. The former board chair says she's definitely running for a full city council term next spring in Champaign, whether or not she's appointed to fill an interim council seat next week. AM 580's Jim Meadows reports.
Avery made the announcement during her presentation to the city council last night. She's one of 15 applicants for a vacant at-large seat on the council. She didn't get the warmest reception. Councilman Tom Bruno chided Avery for arriving late for the meeting and questioned her county board attendance record since losing the chairmanship. And Avery complained about an anonymous letter to the mayor attacking her, which was passed along to other city council members. But Avery says she's ready to make the switch from county to city government, if not now, then next spring, when all three at-large seats will be up for election.
Whether I'm appointed by the council, I will run. And I will run an admirable race for the seat.
Avery says she'll soon formally withdraw her county board re-election bid, joining Deb Finan, who's also leaving county government to run for city council, whether or not she wins the interim seat. Champaign City Council members select the new interim member at the start of next Tuesday's meeting. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
The City Council, meanwhile, may be about to approve its first raise for itself since 1988. At last night's study session, the council gave tentative approval for raises for regular council members and the mayor. Former Champaign Mayor Daniel McCollum served on the task force created to study the issue. He says politicians don't like to be seen approving raises for themselves, but in this case, it's called for.
What you're talking about here is the combined compensation for all council members and the mayor is less than half of that of the city manager. Now think that over. You are allegedly the policymakers of this city. Don't undervalue yourself.
If it's approved at an upcoming council meeting, city council members would get $5,000 a year, up from $4,000, and the mayor would get $35,000 a year, up from $25,000. The council boosted the mayor's raise from the $30,000 recommended by the task force. Those raises, if approved, would take place in 2009. Starting this September, most pharmacies in Illinois will have to hang a sign detailing a consumer's rights to emergency contraceptives. A bipartisan legislative committee yesterday voted to require it, but as Amanda Vinicky reports, the group representing Illinois pharmacists says the rule seems to put them on the defensive.
Governor Rod Blagojevich says in a statement that with the sign, women will now be armed with the information they need, and that any pharmacist who might still think they can deny women access to birth control can expect to be reported to the state and penalized. Illinois Pharmacists Association Director Michael Patton says while the governor calls it a battle, that's not so.
You know, pharmacists aren't these big ogres out there who are just, you know, in bold revolution against dispensing of more oral contraceptives.
He says while the association doesn't consider the requirement a big issue, it does consider the demand somewhat intrusive, and he says there are technical issues with the rule. Patton says women would be better served if the governor would push for a state law that allows pharmacists to dispense Plan B without a doctor's prescription. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
One more hearing separates Exelon Generating from a preliminary okay to build another reactor at the Clinton Nuclear Power Station. Exelon says it has no plans for the moment to expand Clinton, but it filed for what's called an early site permit that would give it 20 years to decide. Late last month, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission finalized an environmental impact statement, and spokesman Jan Strasma says the NRC expects to vote on the permit by the middle of next year.
If the permit is issued, that site is then put on the shelf to be used at some point in the future if Exelon does indeed decide to build a nuclear plant there.
The final report says there are no environmental impacts that would prevent issuing the early site permit. That doesn't sit well with Clinton's critics, who say the report didn't address the issue of nuclear waste or their concerns about the health of nearby Clinton Lake. The two major candidates in a key Illinois state Senate race staked out their positions on pension funds this week. Republican Judy Myers promised not to vote for a state budget that takes away from regular payments to pension funds for state employees. It's been a common theme of Republicans unhappy with Democratic Governor Rod Blagojevich's diversion of pension fund payments to help balance the state budget. Meyer says future budgets, and even the present one, should be scrutinized for spending that could be cut first.
I think that we should take another look at the 07 budget, which is the one that was just passed, and perhaps start that right now. Postpone some of the programs that have been passed and start it right now in getting that pension fund back under control.
Meyer's opponent, Democrat Mike Frerichs, also says he won't vote for a budget that doesn't have proper payments to pension funds, even if under pressure from fellow party members. He referred to his duties as county auditor in criticizing Blagojevich's decision to forego those pension payments.
Every year, we're giving an annual required contribution that we have to put into that system, and we put that into our budget first. That's a bill that we have to pay every year. And then we build on top of that with other programs that we'd like to spend on. So I would like the state to make its annual required contribution to the state retirement pensions.
Myers proposes a constitutional amendment to require the state to meet its obligations to fund the system, though she says it would not include a minimum funding level. Frerichs dismisses that proposal as window dressing. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. Farm pollution is one of the biggest contamination problems in the country. But unlike other industries, there are very few pollution restrictions on agriculture. The Great Lakes Radio Consortium's Lester Graham reports when cities clean up pollution from pesticides, the cost ends up on their citizens' water bills.
Every city in the Corn Belt that gets its water from surface supplies such as lakes and rivers has to deal with pesticide contamination. For the most part, the pesticide levels are below federal standards for safe drinking water. But water treatment plants have to test for the chemicals and other pollutants that wash in from farm fields. Some cities have had to build artificial wetlands or take other more expensive measures to help reduce pollution such as nitrogen, phosphorus, and pesticides. Craig Cummings is the water director for the city of Bloomington, Illinois.
Well, it is an expense that, we would rather not bear, obviously. We don't, particularly like to pass that on to our customers. But again, it's understood that we're not going to have crystal clear, pristine waters here in the Midwest. But that's not to say that we should stick our head in the sand and not work with the producers.
Part of that working relationship is a liaison with the farmers. Jim Rutherford has worked with farmers in the area on soil conservation issues for decades. He's showing me the artificial wetlands that the city of Bloomington is monitoring to see if it can help reduce some of the contaminants that end up in the city's water supply. The wetlands reduce nitrogen runoff and filter out some of the pesticides, such as atrazine, that otherwise would end up in Bloomington's lake. Rutherford says for a very long time, atrazine has been popular with corn farmers.
It's the cheapest, but it's also gives more problems as far as water quality is concerned.
That's because spring rains can wash the pesticides off the farm fields.
The atrazine was used back several years ago in high concentrated amounts. It's affected where if you get a flush of rain after your atrazine's put on, it comes into the lake.
Because so many farmers use it, it's polluted some lakes to the point that they exceeded safe drinking water standards. One year during spring applications of atrazine, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration scientists found so much of the chemical had evaporated from Midwest farm fields that rain in some parts of the East Coast had atrazine levels that exceeded safe drinking water levels. But recently, atrazine levels have been going down a bit. It's not so much because of artificial wetlands or because farmers are concerned about pesticide pollution, although some of them have expressed concern. Atrazine has not been as much of a problem because more and more farmers are switching to genetically modified crops, such as Roundup-ready corn. The Monsanto seed corn is genetically altered so that the Monsanto pesticide, Roundup, can be applied to the fields and not hurt the crops. And Roundup doesn't cause the kind of water pollution that atrazine does. Mike Kelly is a farmer who's concerned about reducing stormwater runoff from fields.
A lot of the herbicides that we're using attack the plant, not the soil. And, for example, Roundup does not hang around in the soil. Now, I do still use atrazine. It does attach to soil particles, but there's where the advantage in no-till, the soil staying put in the field. As you said, we're not getting as much erosion, and so it stays put and breaks down the way it's supposed to.
Kelly uses a conservation tillage method that doesn't plow up the soil the way traditional methods do. That means less soil erosion, so pesticides aren't as likely to end up in waterways. And Kelly says low-till and no-till methods are beginning to get a hand from nature.
Definitely, conservation tillage and no-till is going to help keep herbicides in the field. Again, we do see increased infiltration through better soil structure and also through earthworms coming back, creating holes, you know, about the size of a pencil, 3 to 4 feet deep in our soils. That is a nice avenue for water to infiltrate rather than running off.
And if more of the water percolates down into the soil, less of it's going to end up polluting water supplies, such as the city of Bloomington's lake. Water Director Craig Cummings says the city encourages voluntary efforts like Mike Kelly's. Cummings says the city economy depends on the farming community too much to point a finger accusing farmers of pollution.
We recognize that we're in the breadbasket of the world here, and we're going to see with the kind of agricultural practices that we have here in the United States, we're going to see some of these contaminants.
Cummings says it's not a matter of eliminating pesticide contamination at the source, the farm, but rather a matter of the city keeping pesticide levels low enough that the water is safe to drink. For the GLRC, this is Lester Graham.
The GLRC is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation and the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Cooperative Extension Service. You can subscribe to the GLRC podcast at glrc.org.
Well, rain plays a role in our forecast over the next few days, according to meteorologist Ed Kieser. For today, it'll be a cloudy day in Illinois with scattered showers and thunderstorms, as well as in western and southern Indiana. In the northeast part of Indiana, a mix of clouds and sun, and highs ranging from near 80 in northeast Illinois and northern Indiana, down to 92 in far southern Illinois. For tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms continue, and much of the same for tomorrow's forecast, too. Lows tonight from 62 in northeast Indiana to 72 in southwest Illinois. Clouds and rain tomorrow with highs ranging between 82 and 94. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Wednesday, August 9th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information at our website, wyll.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.